Okay, Parshas Pikudei is the last parsha in the Chumash of Shemais, and therefore this Shabbos is called Shabbos Chazak because we finished another Chumash in the Torah. Mm-hmm. Many years, or I think the majority of years, Vayakel and Pikudei go together. But this year, because it's a leap year, so we split things up, and Vayakel is last week, and Pikudei, the last parsha of the week, is this parsha.
Is it always split if it's a leap year?
I think so. I think if it's a leap year, it's going to be split. There could be exceptions, but that's the general rule of thumb. Now, Pikudei is also the last parsha in the whole segment of the Mishkan. Wow. In the building of the Mishkan, that is. I mean, the whole, which we've been dealing with really for five parshas. Truma, Tetzaveh, Kisisa, although Kisisa had other parts also, and then Vayakel and Pikudo. And really the breakdown is that in Truma, Tetzaveh, Hashem is telling Moshe all the mitzvahs of how it should be done and what should be done with all the detail. In Vayakel, Moshe is telling it over to the Jewish people, and the Jewish people are actually doing it. And Pikudei is where they finish everything and bring it to Moshe, and the Mishkan is actually put up on a final day. Now, we know the Mishkan, very interestingly, was going to be, Moshe comes down and teaches them the mitzvahs of the Mishkan after Yom Kippur. We talked about this last week. After the third set of 40 days, Yom Kippur, Moshe comes down. The next day, he teaches them the laws of the Mishkan. And the Jews start up an immediate fundraiser, which is extraordinarily successful. It was the best fundraiser in history, because it's the only fundraiser that at some point they said, enough, genug shon, stop, we have whatever we need. That hasn't happened since. But they did it so quick, and they built so quick, that the Mishkan was really ready to go on the 25th of Kislev, right? Which means it really took them only half of Tishrei and Cheshvan and Kislev, about 2.5 months, and they built everything, and everything was ready to go.
How many those curtains? You have to do those.
Okay, listen, they were into it, and they wanted it. The whole Jewish people.
Wait? How many months was it?
So, and that day they were going to do it. And Hashem says, "I want you to wait. I want you to wait till Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That means you have to wait the entire Tevis, Shvat, Adar, a solid 3 months." Before they were actually able to put up the Mishkan. And Hashem says, I have my cheshbonos, I have my reason why this has to go up in the month of Nisan. And here you have that beautiful medrash that says that the date of the 25th of Kislev comes before Hashem and says, it's not fair. You know, I could have had the Mishkan built on me and I would have been a Yom Tov, a holiday, you know, and especially Kabbalistically, every day and every object, everything has a nefesh, has a soul, has some level of soul. So the soul of the day of the 25th of Kislev comes to Hashem and says, you know, the Mishkan was ready, I could have been a great day. And Hashem says, don't worry, you'll have your day under the sun too. And that's Chanukah. Chanukah is going to be on Chafei Kislev in a couple of years. Just be patient, right? But be that as it may, so everything is ready to go, but everything is put on hold. And it's put on hold until really the 23rd of Adar, right? Because for the 23rd of Adar, for 7 days, every day Moshe is going to set up the Mishkan, put it all up, take and do the Avodah, and do the what's called the Chinuch, the consecration of the Mishkan, and then take the Mishkan down by night. And that happened for 7 consecutive days. And then it was by Yom HaShmini, which that's the beginning of Parsha Shmini, which is a few parshas down the line. Yom HaShmini, the 8th day, which is the 8th day of putting up and taking down the Mishkan, but that's Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that's when the Mishkan was put up properly, and the Kvod Hashem, the glory of Hashem comes down, and that's when it really begins in earnest. And then you have the 12 days of the Chanukah Samizbeach with the Nesiim, that's the first 12 days of Nisan. So, although when you read the Parsha, you don't get all those details, but that story is described in this Parsha, the ending of the building and the time when the Divine Presence came down. So I want to look at some Sukkim and see something very interesting in the Parsha. So on the top line, we have Perek Lamed Tes, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Vayaviyu es HaMishkan El Moshe. The Jewish people finished everything. They made everything, and they made all the krushim, and they made all the peruchas, and all the curtains, and everything. And they brought it all to Moshe, as a oil, the tent, ves, or really it's probably the coverings, ves kol kelav, and all the vessels, krushav, brichav, avmudav, avdonav, these are all the details that were involved in the actual edifice, and they bring everything to Moshe. Now, the question is, why? Why did they bring it to Moshe? What's he supposed to do with it? I mean, they built it. Everything is ready. What's, you know, bring it to Moshe's house. Here, take it. Why are they bringing it to Moshe? So Rashi says, they were not able to put it up themselves.
Too heavy.
It was too heavy, too big. Fisha lo asa Moshe shum melacha b'mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu himself, to this point, had not done any, had not taken part in creating and doing any actual melacha for the Mishkan. He niach lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu hakamaso. Hashem said, you know what? He's going to put it up. Nobody else is going to be able to, and he will have the zchus, Moshe Rabbeinu, of actually putting up the Mishkan. Why? Shelehaya yachal lahakimo shum adam machmas koyved hakrashim. The krashim, the which are, what do I say, the panels, were so heavy that nobody could put them up. She'ein koach ba'adam lezakfan. There wasn't, no person had the power, the ability to stand them up straight. But Moshe hamideh, Moshe is the one who did that. Now, Omar Moshe lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, Eich efshir hakamasa aldei adam. How could I do this? I mean, this is humanly impossible for a person himself to raise up this Mishkan. Amar loy, Hashem told him, Asok ata biyodcha nire kimakimai. You get involved with your hands, and it will seem as if you're the one who's standing it up. Vuhu niskav v'kam me'ilav. But really, miraculously, it will stand up on its own. V'zeo shenemar, and this is what the pasuk means when it says a little later in the parsha, hukam hamishkan. Hukam means like it was stood up on its own. Hukam me'ilav, and Rashi says this is from the Medrash Rabbi Tanchuma, which means that really there's three steps here. The Jewish people, they couldn't put it up. No way. They couldn't put up the Mishkan. They brought it to Moshe. Moshe tells Hashem, I can't do it either. Hashem says, doesn't matter. Pretend. Get involved. You get your hands involved. Do what you got to do, and the Mishkan will stand up on its own. Which becomes the explanation of these two psukim in the next paragraph, later in the parsha. It says, "Vayhi b'chodesh harishon b'shana hashenis." It was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, right? The second year means the year after they came out of Mitzrayim. B'achol haChodesh, hukam hamishkan. Hukam means that it happened. It stood up on its own. And then it says, "Vayakem Moshe es hamishkan." Moshe is the one who built it. Vayitin es adona, vayasem es krasha, b'richav. So who did it? Did it happen on its own, or was it through Moshe? We have two verses, one after another, that give a contradictory message, and the answer is both. Moshe Rabbeinu got involved. Moshe Rabbeinu got there and he put his hands down on it. He started working with it, and it stood up miraculously. So it was a combination of Moshe and Hashem's miraculous intervention, and the Mishkan was put up. But here, there's an interesting kasha, an interesting question, which is, who put it up and took it down this 7 days beforehand? Again, this pasuk is talking about Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It says, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they couldn't bring it. They brought it to Moshe, and Moshe makes like he's picking it up, and Hashem picks it up. The pasuk clearly says, Vayhi b'chodesh harishon b'shan ha'shenis b'chad l'chodesh. This is Rosh Chodesh. So, if it was impossible to erect, to put it up and take it down, who did it on Chav Gimel Adar and Chav Dalet and Chav Hey for the 7 days of Chanukah Samishkan?
Why do you assume that this is the first time it was Hukam HaMishkan?
Because this is the only time it says that, Lashon. That concept of Hukam HaMishkan, that it was stood up on its own, says Dafka in relation to this date. There's no indication that beforehand, on the previous day, when Moshe Rabbeinu did the Chanukah HaMishkan.
Because on this day, it stayed up.
Right.
It didn't come down.
Correct. So on this day it stayed up and never came down, which is all good. But the concept of this miracle and this problem that they weren't able to pick it up and put it down is only mentioned in relation to this eighth day, not the earlier days. And the question is why?
If they are not traveling, where they have to take it down? I mean, this outlook, the court, the big one, should say, but the inside, I believe it could be done.
Right, it could be, but still, we're told that the first 7 days, it was only put up for the day and taken down. That's what's written. And the eighth day was put up to stay. And again, this nace that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do it, and he put his hands to it, and suddenly it stood up, seems to say specifically about this day. And it doesn't say about it another time either. Even later in the Mishkan, we don't have that, you know, for 40 years they traveled. So there was many times it was taken down, but it doesn't say every time Moshe Rabbeinu came there and he did it. Like, what happened on that day? So the emes is, and if you think about it, it's a very interesting question. What does it mean they couldn't put it up? Because they were too heavy. I mean, in history, people built great buildings, huge buildings, skyscrapers. I mean, the Migdal of Bavel was a tower that they built to go to the sky. They did it without miracles.
Pyramids.
So why suddenly, when it came to these Mishkan, I mean, the Krushim are heavy, but why couldn't they put it up? When we read this Rashi, they couldn't, it was too heavy. So, you know, get together a few people, get a few animals, whatever it is, and put it together, right? So So an answer that the Rebbe once gave to this, he said, is because on that final day when the Shechina had to be drawn down, the mitzvah was, Hashem said, one person should pick it up himself and put it up, and nobody had the koach to do that. Now, when it comes to regular, when they picked up, when they built the Mishkan, took it down, 100 people, 1,000 people, what's the big deal? Again, historically, in ancient history, they built any time building you want. You go to Eretz Yisrael, you see those stones that they put together that weigh who knows tons. So they figured it out. There was ways, there was pulley systems. It wasn't a problem. But here, it would seem, there was a specific mitzvah of Hashem, which says, Hakimosa, you should put up the Mishkan. And no one person had the koach, had the ability to do it. And even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have the koach to do it. Only miraculously with divine intervention. So what Hashem really wanted was that on that day that the Shekhinah was being brought down into this world the first time, on that day, the Shekhinah should come in a miraculous way, something that's above and beyond what a person can accomplish on their own. We work hard, we try to top and try to learn, try to do things, but ultimately the bracha of Hashem is something that comes from above. So here in this story, you had 7 days of preparation. We were preparing and getting ready, doing our part. There's always our part, how much we can do. That was the 7 days of chinuch. But the 8th day, when the Shekhinah has to come down, as we have in the next pasuk on the page, that what happens on that day, on that 8th day, v'ichas ha'onon es oyel moyed, that the divine cloud comes and covers the oyel moyed, the kvoid Hashem milias ha'mishkan, the glory of Hashem filled the Mishkan, so much so that the last few psukim of this parsha say that even Moshe couldn't go in. Because the Shekhinah was so intense in the Mishkan. And the next chumash begins, v'yikra Hashem on Moshe, Hashem calls to Moshe and says, come, I'll bring you in. But when you have that intensity of Hashem coming into the world, that's not something that a human being could do on their own. That's something that it takes a Moshe Rabbeinu with the assistance of Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu acts as if he's doing it, and ultimately it comes from Hashem, that Gilui Hashchina, the revelation from Hashem above. This becomes a general concept in Kabbalistic terms. This is called the concept of Isarusa de la Sata versus Isarusa de la Ela. Isarusa means an awakening. Awakening that comes from below. We do what we can. We do our avoda, but ultimately Hashem gives his bracha, which is way beyond the avoda that we could do. So we work for 7 days, getting ready, doing what we can, ultimately to bring down the ultimate hashras, hashchina, the divine presence, that had to come from Hashem himself in a miraculous way, dafka through Moshe Rabbeinu, the tzad, the great tzaddik, who was totally transparent to godliness, and through him, Hashem enters into the world and enters into the hearts of the Jewish people. On that 8th day.
The 7 previous days.
Was our avoda. There wasn't the real Hashras Hashchina. Right. Now this concept of Kavod Hashem, Milius HaMishkan, the glory of Hashem, that's the 8th day.
Only have Rosh Chodesh.
Only Rosh Chodesh Nisan. In fact, Rashi says in the beginning of Parsha Shmini, which describes that day, it says, Asara Na'ataros Nosno Lakach Osa Yom. That day had 10 crowns, and one of them is Rishon Legilu Shechina. The first day that the Shechina came back to this world. In fact, the Medrash says, not the matters. The pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, Hashem says, I came back to the world, Basi Lugani, I came to the world, to the garden, my sister, my bride. And the matter says, that's when Hashem came to the Shechina, to the Mishkan. V'shachanti b'socham, I've rested amongst you. That came from Hashem himself.
What about Har Sinai?
So there's two times. It's very, very interesting, because the matter says, machlokas. If when Hashem says, I came back to the world, is he talking about the Gilui of Har Sinai or the Mishkan? They're similar. But Har Sinai was very, it came and it left. The Mishkan came and stayed, because it stayed in the Mishkan and then in the Beis HaMikdash, so it was much more internalized into this world. That's why that's seen as the greater event. Har Sinai was a greater one-time event. But once it came into the Mishkan, V'shachanti B'socham, Hashem said, that's the way that I'm going to rest amongst you. Again, the Mishkan, and then the Shkishilo, Beis HaMikdash, Zach Beis HaMikdash, so on and so forth. Now, this concept, that there's our avoda, that does whatever we can, and we're supposed to do, we have to do whatever we can. But that ultimately the greatest level, the greatest revelation comes from Hashem himself, above and beyond our avoda, we see played out later in the final Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash that we're waiting for. Who's going to make the final Beis HaMikdash? The one of Mashiach. And again, we're going to see a very interesting debate. But let's look in part 2 on a Rashi. This is a Rashi of Gemara, Masechta Sukkah, Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. I'm not going to go into the sugya, I'm not going to go into the entire idea, but that Gemara talking about the concept of eating from the new tvua, from the chadash, on the 16th of Nisan. And it says that until Mashiach comes, one shouldn't eat the Chadash on the entire day, the 16th of Nisan. And the Gemara goes through the whole issue because we're concerned the Mashiach will come and there will be a problem with the Omer, with the carbon Omer. And the Gemara goes through details. Exactly when is Mashiach going to come that create this issue? So it seems like he's going to come on the first night of Pesach, or the second night of Pesach. So in the Rashi, it's the middle of a Rashi there in Sukkah, Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph 41a. Rashi writes, "V'ikasha, if you'll ask, the belayla inu nivna, it can't be that the Beis Hamikdash will be built by night. The kaimelam b'shvuas, because we learned in the Gemara in Shvuas, the aim binyan Beis Hamikdash belayla. The halach is we're not allowed to build the Beis Hamikdash by night. Dechsev ubiyom hekim. In the day we build the Beis Hamikdash, not the night. So Rashi is asking, how could the Gemara suggest that Mashiach might come on the night of Pesach if we can't build the Beis Hamikdash by night? Additionally, v'lo b'chamesar, Mashiach can't come on the 15th of Nisan, shehu yantuf, because that's yantuf. D'kaim elam b'shvus, d'ein bein b'nis hamikdash d'ocha yantuf. That you can't build a Beis Hamikdash on yantuf. So again, I know I haven't been clear about what the Gemara, all the details of that Gemara, but the fact is the Gemara is discussing a possibility that Mashiach might come on the 15th of Nisan or the eve of the 16th of Nisan, and Rashi is wondering, how's that possible? You're not allowed to build a Beis Hamikdash by night, you're not allowed to build a Beis Hamikdash on Yom Tov, so how's the Gemara concerned about Mashiach coming on the night of the 15th or 16th of Nisan? Says Rashi, Hani Mili, when is it forbidden to build a Beis Hamikdash by night? Or on Yom Tov, binyan habonui bidei adam. When we build the Beis Hamikdash, when a human builds the Beis Hamikdash, we're not allowed to build it by night. We're not allowed to build it on Yom Tov. Aval mikdash ha'asid, but the mikdash of the future, sha'anu mitzapin, that we're waiting for, the mikdash of Mashiach, the third Beis Hamikdash, banui u'mishuchlal, it's built and fully ready. Hu yigale v'yave min hashamayim, it will come from heaven, fully complete. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, he goes back to the Oz Yashir, Mikdash Hashem, Konenu Yadecha. Hashem's ultimate Mikdash, Konenu Yadecha, your hands, Hashem's hands formed them themselves. So here's Rashi on the Gemara, who gives us this concept, that the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be different than the first two. The first two were built by man. The first one we know was built by Shlomo Melech and his workers. The second was built by Ezra and Nehemiah and their workers. Says Rashi, but not the third. And therefore, all bets are off. This can be by night, and this can be on Yom Tov, because if Hashem is doing the building, he has his own Shulchan Aruch, right? So he can do, that's what Rashi says. And Tosfos over there, on that same page in Sukkah, says that Rashi's right, like Rashi. Right. And they're really echoing the opinion of the Zohar. The Zohar precedes Rashi and Tosfos by almost 1,000 years. But the Zohar writes this concept as well. In fact, the Zohar explains what did a pasuk we say in Tehillim. And that's in the next quote here in bold letters. In Tehillim chapter 127 says, Shir Amalos L'Shlomo. This was a psalm of Tehillim that was written for Shlomo. Now remember, Shlomo is the one who built the first Beis HaMikdash. So what does the pasuk say? Im Hashem lo yivne bayis. If Hashem won't build the home, Shav Omlu Bonav Bo. Then those who put all their effort in it, it's really for naught, because it's going to be destroyed. Im Hashem lo yishmor ir, if Hashem doesn't guard the city, shav shakat shomer, it doesn't matter how many guards you have. Point is, says the Zohar, what is this pasuk really saying? That the first Beis HaMikdash was built by man, and therefore ultimately will be destroyed, and was destroyed by the Greeks, Babylonians. And the second Beis HaMikdash was built by man, and it was ultimately destroyed by the Romans. Says the Beis HaMikdash, but not, says the Zohar, but the third Beis HaMikdash, just like Rashi said and Tosfos says, that the third Beis HaMikdash will be Mikdash Hashem Konenu Yadecha, or in the wording of the Zohar, Binyana Dekut Shabrichu, a building built by Hashem, and therefore that's why it's going to be an everlasting building. So what do we see? That Rashi in the Gemara goes together with Rashi in the Chumash, which makes sense because they're both called Rashi. They're both the same person. That they both understand that there's tremendous importance and chashivos in the fact that we do what we can and we prepared and we did the 7 days of chinuch and the 7 days. But that's not the real deal. The ultimate gilui, the ultimate revelation comes from above as a response to our avodah. And the same is with the Bati Mikdash. We built the first Beis HaMikdash, we built the second Beis HaMikdash, which is wonderful, and which we were supposed to do, of course. And yet the ultimate Beis HaMikdash, just like the building of the Mishkan on that eighth day ultimately happened miraculously, it just looked like Moshe Rabbeinu was doing it. But it was miraculous. The final Beis HaMikdash also will be miraculous in nature and will descend from heaven. That is what Rashi and Tosfos and the Zohar says. Now, famously, the Rambam seems to say something differently. Because when you read the Rambam, it's pretty clear who's going to build the third base of Mikdash? Mashiach and us, right? And we'll read from the Rambam here. Hilchas Melachim, the laws of kings. Perik Yud Aleph, Halach Aleph. HaMelech HaMashiach Asid Lamod. The King Mashiach will rise. Olahachzir Malchus David and return the kingdom of David. LeYoshna, LeMimshal HaRishona, to its initial state and its initial kingdom. Ubone HaMikdash. He will build the Beis HaMikdash. UMekabetz Nidchei Yisrael. He'll gather in the Jewish people that are, you know, the kibbutz Golias, and bring the Jews from Lincolnwood and everywhere else and bring them back to Eretz Yisrael. But the Rambam makes it sound like a very human affair. So the question is there a machlokas? I mean, Rashi said clearly that the third base of Mikdash is coming from heaven. Rambam says, we're going to do it. And Zohar says, like Rashi, based on the Pasuk in Tehillah. So, you know, one could say, well, there's a machlokas, there's a debate, it wouldn't be the first machlokas in Torah. Of this machlokas. But essentially, the Meisvarim write that there's ways to resolve this. And the Rambam is saying, we'll do whatever we can. There are certain parts that we'll be able to prepare. There are parts that we know how to build, there are parts we don't know how to build. We'll do our part. And ultimately, Hashem will come in with his part and complete everything that we don't know how to do and aren't able to do. And again, there's different ways of resolving that. For example, one of the ways is it says that the certain parts of the Beis HaMikdash were never destroyed, but they were sunk into the ground. Pasuk says about the gates, Tuba Bar Shara. So some say, you know, that we'll find them underground and bring them up. But ultimately, part of it will be revealed from heaven. So that's really, it's really the same idea as the Mishkan. We did whatever we could. We did the first 7 days. And ultimately, the ultimate revelation comes from Hashem himself, higher than what we can do. But interestingly, the Rambam is going to focus on our part, what we're going to do. Rashi, Tosfos, and the Zohar are focusing on Hashem's part. And that's because the Rambam is a book of halacha. Halacha is always most interested in, what's my job? And what do I got to do? So Rambam also, when the Rambam talks about this in Mikdash, of course the Rambam knows that there's going to be divine revelation and things that come from heaven and that are higher than what we can accomplish. But the Rambam is always going to focus on the halachic angle of the story, and that is that we got to do what we got to do. We got to do our part. So again, just like in the Mishkan, we had to do our part of the 7 days, and then Hashem came in with the Gilui Hashchina, with the revelation from above and beyond what we can do. We do what we can, and He comes in with a great revelation. Rambam focuses on our part of the story, and Rashi, Tosfos, the Zohar are telling us that the ultimate revelation will come from Hashem Himself.
And we should see it is like Hollywood, like cosmic, coming like from cosmos. I just want to imagine how we understand it with our brain coming from heaven.
You want to know how to imagine it coming from heaven?
Because if I am making a story movie, I'm in director and making the movie, how the best time to come, the cosmic forces coming, or some, how is physically, because we're talking about physical, bricks and stones and things, how's it coming?
Listen, I cannot reveal everything in this year.
Okay.
I give you the basic building blocks. You have to work on this anyway.
You're saying that something is coming from under.
Yes,
for sure.
I mean, there are midrash. There's psukim. There's verses that even discuss how we're all going to get to Eretz Yisrael when Mashiach comes. And there are verses that talk about heavenly clouds. Right? There's different ways, but there's Va'aruim Anani Yishmael will come in heavenly clouds. And I'm sure I've said this here in the past. This has got to be 20 years ago, at least, that I was putting my two little girls then, who are not such little girls anymore, but I was putting them to bed by night. They were, I don't know, 3 and 4. And I was telling them, Mashiach is coming, and he'll go in the heavenly clouds. And my older daughter, Mushki, who you know, started crying. She said, I'm afraid I'll fall off the cloud. You know, I mean, it's scary flying on a cloud over the ocean. So my younger daughter, Esty, says, don't be silly. There will be seat belts on the clouds. And so they, you know, these problems are easily solved.
Are they going business class or coach?
This we don't know. They were too young to know that part. But they definitely knew that there was definitely going to be seat belts. Anyways, but one more example of this, a very beautiful Rambam and Ramban. Let's talk about the Beis HaMikdash in general. What's the most important and specific part of the Beis HaMikdash? If you think about, again, not just the one coming, the first Beis HaMikdash, second, the Mishkan, what's the essence of the story? So it's very interesting. You look at the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Laws of Beis Abchira, which is his Laws of Beis Hamikdash, Mitzvah Saseh, there's a positive commandment, Lasos Bayis LaHashem, Muchon Liyos Makrivim Boha Karbonos. We make a house for Hashem, a place where we can bring Karbonos. V'chogigin Elav Shalosh Pamim Bashana. And really we go to celebrate three times a year. Shenemar V'asol Limitash, make for me a sanctuary. That's how he defines the mitzvah. So if you think from Rambam perspective, what's the most significant part of the Beis Hamikdash? What does he say? To have to do karbanos and to come for Yom Tov. That's the Rambam's perspective. You look at the Ramban in his commentary to Torah, the beginning of Parshas Truma, and he writes, Iker achefetz b'mishkan, the main point of the Mishkan, humaka menucha sashchina shuha aron, is a place where the Shechina of the divinity rests, which is the aron, the ark. Hashem says, that's the place I'll reveal myself, that's the place I'll speak with you from. That's why the Torah talks first about the Aron and the Kaporis, the Ark and the covering of the Ark, because that's the essence, that's the highest level of the base of the Mishkan. So it sounds like they're talking about two different stories, Rambam and Ramban. Rambam says the main thing is the Karbanos, so the main thing is the Mizbeach. Ramban says the main thing is the Aron, where Hashem is being revealed in the Mishkan. Are they arguing? Is it a machlokas? But if you think about it, really, it's not a machlokas. It's the same two perspectives as before. Rambam is talking about the halacha. Mm-hmm. What's wanted of me? What do I do? So what I do, I don't bring the gilui hashchina. I do my karbanos. I do my avoda. I come for shalosh regalim. I serve Hashem there. Ramban is saying, yeah, but what's going on? Hashem is revealing himself here. So it's the aron. They're not arguing. It's two different perspectives. And there's always these two perspectives. They complement each other. There's always the halachic oriented perspective is always, what do I got to do? What does Hashem want for me? The more mystical perspective always is, okay, and what's being accomplished? What's happening? What's going on? And that really ties this all together, because that's really the story of the first 7 days and the eighth day. The first 7 days was our avoda. We were preparing and we were getting ready. We were doing whatever we can. But to actually bring down the Shekhinah, that's Hashem's business. We can't do that. We're not big enough. We're not strong enough. We're not great enough. We're not unlimited enough to bring the Shekhinah. So that's why Hashem says, the eighth day, everyone stand back. Right? I'm taking over. Everyone move out of the way. Stand back. You can't do this. Go to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the vehicle for divine revelation. He'll act and I'll come into the world, says Hashem, on the eighth day. And that's always the two parts of the story. We do what we have to. We do what we can. And then Hashem says, stand back. Let me take over. I'm going to reveal and bring you and the world to a much greater place than you could accomplish on your own. It's important that you do your avoda, but to recognize that at the end of the day, our avoda is limited, and Hashem responds by giving us something that's not limited, something that transcends our avoda, and that comes from Hashem himself through the tzaddik, through Moshe Rabbeinu, as it happened there in the first time in the Mishkan, and as when Mashiach will come again, we'll do whatever we can for the third Beis HaMikdash, but ultimately the revelation will come from above, like Rashi says, and that the same thing in the end, the Karbanos, we do whatever we can, and ultimately the essence is the Gilui Hashchina by the Aron. Hashem Shalom, we should see that there is a Mikdash very speedily.
So, conclusion is that we are here.